Intervju Radija Študent.
Poslušalke in poslušalci, pozdravljeni v oddaji Ereš Intervju. Danes je z mano v studiu Nuno, pevec ameriške punk rock zasedbe A Wilhelm Scream. Slednji bodo danes večer nastopili na ljubljanskem Trnfestu. Za začetek pa, preden pridemo na intervju, prisluhnimo, kako zvenijo A Wilhelm Scream. Poslušali bomo komad Famous Friends and Fashion Drunks z njihovega prvega albuma Mute Print. Hello, Nuno. Please introduce yourself and what is your occupation in the band.
Hello, my name's Nuno Pereira. I'm the lead singer for the band A Wilhelm Scream. And at home, I serve tacos at a taco shop. That's my occupation when I'm not singing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. you're playing on Trnfest Festival tonight. Before this show, a skate contest will take place. Mm-hmm. Do you think that there are still any connections between punk rock, hardcore subculture, and skateboarding? I mean, in the late 90s, these two were quite close.
Yes, yeah, that's, I mean, I would hope so, because it was through skateboarding that I got, you know, introduced to kind of subculture of, you know, like punk rock and hardcore. And, you know, it really helped me out a lot, because you could see someone who was riding a skateboard and just naturally assume that they listen to the same kind of music as you, or maybe they would teach you some, you know, about some new bands that you might be very interested in. So, in my opinion, I hope it will stay like this, you know, but I'm not sure, because skateboarding has become a major market in and of itself. So I think maybe the two are, you know, getting further away from each other. But in the grassroots of it, I think, yes, they're still very, very much, you know, part of one another.
Cool. What options do bands like yours have in the summer when people mostly go to festivals and clubs are empty or even closed?
I think this is definitely a more of a European phenomenon, you know. So if we're touring in the United States or in Canada, then it doesn't really affect us very much. But I mean, half the fun of coming to Europe and playing shows is doing these festivals, because you never know what bands you're going to see. And in general, the vibe of the people is very much more relaxed, and you know, it's fun. It's a little, the pressure isn't as high, I think, you know.
As on U.S. festivals?
Right, yeah. U.S. festivals are, I don't know, it's a little bit more high-strung, you know?
High?
High-strung, like anxious, nervous,
uh-huh. Nervous,
know?
Okay.
But yeah, you know, it's cool. Like, I mean, most of the club shows we've had in Europe have been excellent as well. But like I said, I love playing the festivals here, so it works out for me.
Let's say that your band's official history begins in 2004, when you released your first album, Mute Print.
Uh-huh.
But band's roots of history go far deeper. I mean, you played under different names,
yeah,
before. Please present us some of that prehistory, if I can
It goes way back. I mean, when I first met Trevor Riley, who sings and plays guitar in the band, we were kids. We were in high school, so I think we were like 16 years old, maybe. And he had already been playing a little bit with some friends, and they had put out a cassette tape of their band. And as we became friends, they had many bands going on. It was just kind of for fun, and they invited me to come to practice and sing for them. And so we started our own band then, called Cohen, and that lasted for about a year or so. And then we took pretty much the two bands that were going on and put them together, and then we started calling ourselves Smack and Isaiah. And so Smack and Isaiah went on for a long time, actually. That was started in 1997 or 96. But we had been playing shows in 95 as well, but we didn't get serious until 97 when we left high school. So yeah, we've been around for a very long time.
Yeah. So how was the sound evolving during all those years? I mean, I read somewhere that you played like type of Nirvana music. Music that Nirvana played.
No, it was definitely, it was a little bit more like a, for lack of a better word, kind of juvenile, like, but not in a bad sense. We would write songs about, you know, ugly girls or you know, fat kids or something, you know what I mean? Like friends of ours. And like, you know, we went from writing songs about that, which is just, you know, what any 16-year-old boy will write a song about, you know, drinking for the first time maybe, or, you know, having sex for the first time or something, you know? And as we get older, our interests change, and, you know, instead of looking out at the world, I think as you get older, you start looking in more, you know? So now our songwriting has become, if anything, now more Nirvana-like than back then, because it's a lot more introspective now. But, you know, occasionally we still write a song about, you know, having sex or drinking. These things are both very relevant to us, you know, still.
So you don't see yourself as a political punk rock hardcore band?
No.
You say you make music just for your fun.
Right.
So what issues do you cover in your songs?
Like I said, before, it's very introspective. It could be, you know, for me sometimes, like the passing of a family or friend, you know, someone dies and you start thinking about your own mortality and what that person, you know, did for you while they were here. And sometimes it's just about, you know, the overwhelming feeling of, you know, like you're not going to do any, you won't make it, you know what I mean? And out of this emotion comes many different ideas, you know? So I guess that's all I got to say about that. But like about the political thing, like we have our own political views, I think almost everybody does.
Yeah.
There are some bands out there who can write specifically for, you know, this purpose of getting, you know, their agenda out. Some of them are very good at it. Some of them, I think, are very bad at it. I don't want to try to do it because I don't want to be one of the very bad bands, you know. But I have my own passions about politics and so on and so forth. It's just I don't want to bore anybody by telling them something they've already heard a million times, you know.
Yeah, but these days, I mean, even though you write songs about yourself, your feelings, I mean, those songs still can be political songs, you know.
True, that's true as well. Yeah, I guess I never really thought of it that way, but there's, like I said, everyone has their own personal politics, and for me, I think what we're trying to do with our music is maybe not avoid that completely, but try to focus more on the individual's you know, feelings and so on and so forth.
Okay, with your first record, Mute Print, mm-hmm. you gained a lot of attention. And this record, just like the following two, ended up on many must-hear lists. So is there a lot of pressure on you when you write and record every new record? When you
Yes, I mean, yes and no. I mean, everyone wants to be accepted. Everyone wants to, you know, everyone wants Punk News to say that it's the best thing since sliced bread. But you can't go into it. You can't think of this beforehand, or else you'll probably end up writing a crappy record, you know? When you start writing for other people and their idea of what you should be, is when I think you lose a lot of credibility, and you lose some of that, the heart and soul of your music, the fire of your music. So, no, if anything, we write every record hoping that they say it's terrible. Mm-hmm. That way, you know, we can maybe mix it up a little bit. But they seem to like it, so it works out. It works out either way.
Yeah, you said that you wouldn't attempt another record if you didn't think it could blow the last one away.
Yeah. I don't think anyone should. I think there's a lot of bands out there that have put out some pretty terrible records, many of them in a row, and it's like, you know, maybe you should change the name of your band or something, or like maybe start a new band or something, because it's not working, you know.
So I mean, but with every record you say that you're gonna, I mean, prior to your new record come press releases,
yeah.
And you say that this record will be better than the last,
yes.
one, still kicking asses,
right.
You know. So in which areas do you think you can still improve yourselves, and where do you find new opportunities to write better records?
It comes from many things. I mean, having time to write a record is one thing. Also, who you're writing music with. Like, we've gone through several member changes, you know. When our good friend Chris Levesque left the band, we picked up our friend Michael Sapina. And he's, Chris is a phenomenal guitar player. And Mike is as well. And Mike has a talent for writing, you know. And I sometimes, because Trevor writes so much of the music, it's better for him to have fresh ideas. Mm-hmm. So with Michael coming into the band, and with Brian coming into the band, you know, a few years ago playing bass
player,
the dynamic of the band changed. I could see, because Trevor and I are old friends, you know, I could see in Trevor's eyes the excitement coming back, you know, the love for doing it. And so I think that's how you try to keep, you know, the next record, you know, kick ass, is by having fun while you're writing, you know, and, you know, honestly, truly believing that you're putting out a better product. You know?
You play technically quite hard to play music.
I wouldn't know anything about this. I just sing.
Okay, I mean, your band
yeah.
plays technically
yes.
quite hard to play music.
I agree.
You have a lot of rhythm changes, a
yes.
lot of different melodies and vocal harmonies.
Yeah.
Oh, that's where...
That's me, totally. Pat myself on the back.
So while you are in the studio, it's relatively easy to capture that. But when you're playing live, you have to take many variables into account.
I think so, but everyone is very proficient at what they do. You're gonna make mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes, you know. Some days you feel like you've played flawlessly, and then someone comes up and is like, oh, by the way, you screwed up on this part. And you're like, oh, man, you know. But when it came to, we've always been a live band. We've always focused our energies on staying on tour and playing in front of people. And this is the best way to keep sharp, you know? Writing hard stuff to play is only as difficult as it is for the person playing it, you know? These guys wrote all this stuff.
Yeah,
they practiced it to, you know, to death. So, not to say they don't mess up still, but you mess up, you just keep going, you know? Try to keep the energy up, you know, don't get bummed out or nothing, and you know, it all works out. But yeah, those guys, I don't know how they don't make like 500 mistakes a day, because that stuff is really hard to play.
Okay, thanks for the interview.
Oh, no problem.
We have a few seconds left, so if you have any final words for our listeners.
Thank you so much for your support out here, and keep supporting, you know, this radio station, because you guys are doing something very special here. Come to the show tonight if you're listening, or next time we come through your lovely country here, come check us out, man. Maybe I'll buy a house here so you guys can come over to my house and we can hang out in the Valley of Flowers or whatever.
Cool? Okay, thank you.
No worries, thank you guys.
Tako, drage poslušalke, cenjeni poslušalci, to je bil Ereš intervju, v katerem smo gostili skupino A Wilhelm Scream. Za konec pa poslušamo še njihovo pesem Die While We're Young z njihovega zadnjega albuma Career Suicide. Z vami smo bili Uroš Baduinac, Nuno in tehnik Gašper, ki je skrbel za vrtenje gumbov.
Intervju Radija Študent.